Here's a marvelous convenient place for our rehearsal. And we will do it in action as we will do it before the...
Peter Quince!
What sayest thou, Bully Bottom?
There are things in this comedy of Pyramus and Thisbe that will never please. First, Pyramus must draw a sword to kill himself, which the ladies cannot abide. I want to hear that.
Fire lake and a parlour sphere.
I believe we must leave the killing out when all is done.
Not a whit. I have a device to make all well. Write me a prologue. Let the prologue seem to say that we will do no harm with our swords and that Pyramus is not killed indeed. And for the more better assurance, tell them that I, Pyramus, am not Pyramus, but Bottom, the weaver, this will put them out of fear.
Well, we will have such a prologue. And it should be written in 8 and 6.
No, let it be 2 more. Let it be written in 8 and 8.
Will the ladies not be afeard of the lion?
I fear it, I promise you.
Masters, you ought to consider with yourself to bring in God's shield. There's a lion among ladies. It's a most dreadful thing. There's not a more fearful wildfowl than your lion living. We ought to look to it.
Therefore, another prologue should tell her that he's not a lion.
Nay, you must name his name. And half his face must be seen through the lion's neck, and he himself must speak through, saying thus, or to the same effect. Ladies, or fair ladies, I would wish you, or I would request you, or I would
entreat you.
I would entreat you not to fear, not to tremble. My life for yours, if you think I come hither as a lion, it were pity of my life. No, I am no such thing. I am a man, as other men are. And they had indeed let him name his name and tell them plainly he is Snug the joiner.
Yes.
Well, it shall be so. But there is 2 hard things. And that is to bring the moonlight into a chamber. For Pyramus and Thisbe, you know, meet by moonlight.
Does the moon shine that night we play our play?
I can't. Look in the almanac. Find out.
Yes, it can't shine that night.
Why, then, may you leave a casement of the great chamber window where we play open. And the moon may shine in at the casement.
Or else, one must come in with a bush of thorns and a lantern and say he comes to disfigure or to present the person of moonshine. And there's another thing. We must have a wall in the great chamber for Pyramus and Thisbe, says the story, to talk through the chink of a wall.
You can never bring in a wall. What say you, Bottom?
Some man or other must present war. Let him have some plaster or some loam or some rough cast about him to signify war. Let him hold his fingers thus. And through that cranny shall Pyramus lift his voice.
If that may be, then all is well.
Hey, come sit down, every mother's son, and rehearse your parts.
Now, Pyramus, you begin. When you have spoken your speech, enter into that break, and so everyone according to his cue.
What hempen homespuns have we swaggering here, so near the cradle of the fairy queen? What? A play toward? I'll be an auditor, an actor too, perhaps, if I see cause.
Well, speak, Pyramus.
Thisbe, stand forth.
Thisbe, the flowers of odious savour, sweet.
Odious. Odorous.
Odorous savour sweet, so hath thy breath, my dearest Thisbe dear. But hark, a voice, stay thou but here a while, and by I will to thee appear.
A stranger Pyramus than air played here.
Must I speak now?
Aye, marry, must you. For you must understand, he goes but to see a noise that he heard, and is to come again.
Oh, most radiant Pyramus, most lily-white of hue, of colour like the red rose on triumphant briar, most risky juvenile and eke most lovely Jew, as truest horse that yet would never tire, I'll meet thee, Pyramus, at Ninny's tomb.
Ninus' tomb, man. Why, you mustn't speak that yet, that you answer to Pyramus. You speak all your part at once, cues and all, Pyramus! Enter, your cue is past, it is never tire.
Oh, as truest horse that yet would never tire.
If I were fair, fair Thisbe, I were only thine.
Monstrous. Strange. We are haunted. Fly, masters. Fly, masters, help!
I'll follow you. I'll lead you about, around, through bog, through bush, through grave, through briar. Sometimes a horse of you, sometimes a hound, a hawk, a headless bear, sometimes a fire, a name, you bark, you burn, you roar, you burn, like horse, hound, hog, bear, fire, every turn.
I see there, neighbouring. This is to make an ass of me.
to fright me. If they could. But I will not stir from this place. Do what they can. I will walk up and down here, and I will sing, that they shall hear I am not afraid. The ousel cock so black of hue, with orange tawny bill, the throstle with his note so true, the wren with little quill, the finch, the sparrow,
but
and the
lark. The angel wakes me from my flurry.
The plainsong cuckoo grey, whose note full many a man doth mark, and dares not answer nay. For indeed, who would set his wit to so foolish a bird? Who would give a bird the lie, though he cry cuckoo? Never so.
I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again. Mine ear is much enamoured of thy note. So is mine eye, enthralled to thy shape. And thy fair virtues force perforce doth move me on the first view to say, to swear, I love thee.
Methinks, mistress, you should have little reason for that. Yet to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays. The more the pity that some honest neighbours will not make them friends. Here, I can gleek upon occasion.
Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful.
Not so, neither. But if I had wit enough to get out of this wood, I have enough to serve mine own turn.
Out of this wood, do not desire to go. I shalt remain here, whether thou wilt or no. I am a spirit of no common rate. The summer still doth tend upon my state, and I do love thee. Therefore go with me. I'll give thee fairies to attend on thee. And they shall fetch thee jewels from the deep, and sing whilst thou on pressed flowers dost sleep. And I will purge thy mortal grossness so that thou shalt like an airy spirit go. Peace blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed.
Nessie, and I.
And I. Where shall we go?
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Hop in his wolf, and gamble in his eyes. Feed him with apricocks and dewberries, purple grapes, green figs and mulberries. The honey bag steal from the humble bee, and for night tapers, crop their waxen thighs and light them at the fiery glowworm's eyes to have my love to bed and to arise. And pluck the wings from painted butterflies to fan the moonbeams from his sleeping eyes. Nod to him, elf, and do him courtesy.
Hail!
I cry your worship's mercy heartily. I beseech your worship's name.
Cobweb.
I shall desire you of more acquaintance, good Master Cobweb. If I cut my finger, I shall make bold with you. Your name, honest gentleman.
Peace Blossom.
Good Master Peace Blossom. I shall desire your more acquaintance too. Your name of me, teacher, sir.
Mustard Seed.
Good Master Mustard Seed. Your kindred has made my eyes water ere now. I desire your more acquaintance, good Master Mustard Seed.
Come, wait upon him. Lead him to my bower. The moon, methinks, looks with a watery eye. And when she weeps, weeps every little flower, lamenting some enforced chastity.
I am his tongue.
Bring him silently.